Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Imam Zia recording exclusively for Quran Weekly. What I'd like to talk to you about is the importance of Hajj, and I'm sure that you've been listening to the other speakers already about the spiritual elements of Hajj and internally what you should be feeling about Hajj. What my focus is going to be today is going to be from the fiqhi perspective, the practical aspects of a Hajj, meaning the steps that you're going to take to perform the Hajj. And what I like to tell everybody is to perform the Hajj Tamattu'. And there are actually three types of Hajj: Hajj Tamattu', Hajj Ifrad, and Hajj Qiran. And Hajj Tamattu' is the easiest one by far for people who are coming in from outside of the country. What is Hajj Tamattu'? Hajj Tamattu' means that you perform Umrah first, then you break the Ihram, and then on the day of Hajj, you adopt the Ihram again. So basically, you get a couple of days break in between so that you can relax and not have to be in Ihram for so many days. So first, what I'm going to do is tell you about the procedure for the Umrah itself. And then in my second video, I'm going to be talking about the Hajj and the procedure for Hajj. And that way, what happens is you break down the Hajj into two simple steps, and it becomes very easy that way, inshallah. So how do you perform the Umrah? If you are heading towards Jeddah first and you are not going to Medina first, then you have to be in the state of Ihram before you touch down in Jeddah. So say, for example, you are breaking in Dubai. Your journey is breaking in Dubai. This is the best time to put the sheets on. Okay, and I'm using the terms put the sheets on because you're not in a state of Ihram until you actually make the intention for Ihram, okay? And that is done by saying the Talbiyah, by saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik ila akhiri. So you put the sheets of Ihram on in Dubai, and then you get onto the plane, and what happens is that before the plane actually touches down by about 45 minutes, what's going to happen, the pilot is going to announce that we are about to cross the boundary of Miqat. When that announcement takes place, then you basically start doing talbiyah and make the intention of Hajj and Umrah. And obviously you're making the intention of tamattu', which means that after performing the Umrah, like I said, you're going to come out of the state of Ihram. Once you've made that intention of Ihram, then all of the restrictions of Ihram start. And the intention of Ihram, like I said, it is done by saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. Now all the restrictions of Ihram are in. What are the restrictions of Ihram? No intimacy with the wife, no talking of any type of intimate relations, no romantic talk. Obviously, all of the restrictions that we have as normal Muslims, they become even more burdensome upon a person. A person needs to be very, very careful about them. A person cannot cut his hair, he cannot clip his nails, he cannot use perfume until the Ihram is finished, until the Umrah is finished. Okay, so all of these restrictions, and I'm sure that before going for Hajj, you're going to be reading up on all the other restrictions of Ihram. Please do make a point of reading those books, inshallah. Now, you are going to head towards, you're going to land in Jeddah, and obviously you're going to take transportation to Mecca, and the best thing to do is go to the hotel first and foremost, put your stuff there. If you need to take a rest, you are allowed to take a rest in Ihram. You don't have to perform the Umrah straight away, especially if you've been on a long flight, you are tired, you don't know what you're going to be saying, and basically you're going to be confused. Better to take a few hours rest, go to sleep, obviously keeping in mind all the restrictions of Ihram. Take a rest, and then after that, proceed to the Haram. Now, there are a lot of mustahabbat and recommended things that I could tell you, but I want to keep it as simple as possible, okay? And again, if you want to read the recommended things and do everything by the book, it's not going to be very easy to do that. It's not easy to go by the book exactly. So the main thing to do is remember to do the main things first and foremost, and then if you can fit in and slot in the mustahabbat and the recommended things, that is, basically just a bonus. Okay, so you enter into the Haram and you start first and foremost by making tawaf. Now remember that when you are going to the haram, this the tahiyya or the respect for the Kaaba is in making tawaf. Okay, in any other masjid of the world, you pray 2 rak'ah tahiyatul masjid. The tahiyya of the Kaaba is tawaf itself. And where do you start making the tawaf from? You start making the tawaf from Al-Hajr al-Aswad. And you basically will not be able to get close to Al-Hajr al-Aswad. And I don't want you to even try to do that, because there's going to be such a big crowd. Instead, you should be making Istilamul Hajr al-Aswad. Basically making, raising your hand and making a kissing action. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, this way or with both hands. And you start making tawaf in an anti-clockwise fashion. Okay? So you start, you make Istilamul Hajr al-Aswad from far away and start making tawaf in the anti-clockwise direction. And each time you come across Al-Hajr al-Aswad, you say Allahu Akbar or Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and make Istilam from far away, just beckoning towards it, putting your hand and beckoning towards it. An easy way to remember is that right across from Al-Hajr al-Aswad, there is a green fluorescent light that you can see that indicates that you are close to Al-Hajr al-Aswad. And obviously with the crowd there, it's very difficult. If you're on the upper floors, you're going to see written in Arabic that the tawaf starts from here. Okay, it's going to be written at-tawafu yabda'u min huna, or wording similar to that effect. Each time you cross Al-Hajr al-Aswad, you will make istilam of Al-Hajr al-Aswad. And it's actually sunnah in the first three ashwat. Ashwat means the three circles for the men to do what's known as raml. Raml means that a person needs to be walking with a very, very strong gait. A very strong, like a person who's brave, with the shoulders back, chest out. And this is the sunnah. There's a reason for that. Historically, what happened was that the kuffar of Quraysh, they said about the people who are coming from Medina, that the water of Medina has made the Muslims sick, and they've become weak. So the Prophet ﷺ instructed the Sahaba, when you're making tawaf, then the first three circles, you do ramal, and make the people think that you are not weak, you're strong. So this is specifically for the men, the first three circles, to do raml, okay? And sometimes what happens is you will lose count of the circumambulation that you've done, the circulations that you've done. The easy way to remember the numbers of tawaf is to allocate a specific dua for one tawaf. For the second tawaf, allocate another dua. For the third tawaf, maybe istighfar. For the fourth tawaf, maybe salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, etc. So this way, you'll remember that, okay, my fourth circle, I was supposed to do istighfar. My fifth circle, I was to send salawat upon the Prophet. My sixth circle, I was going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this specific dua. So, and that way, you will remember how many circulations you've done, inshallah. So each time you're making a circulation, you will make istilam of Al-Hajr al-Aswad and beckon towards black stone and say Allahu Akbar and carry on. Okay, and then finally, after completing the seventh shawt, you will basically make istilam one more time and then proceed to perform 2 rak'ah of the 2 rak'ah of Umrah, basically. And the sunnah is to actually do it close to Maqam Ibrahim. Obviously, there's going to be a massive crowd there. You're not going to be able to get close to it. And I would discourage you from doing that, because you're going to be in everybody's way. Instead, go back as far as you can while keeping the Maqam Ibrahim, which is kind of like a gold-shaped building, in front of you and the Kaaba in front of you simultaneously, and perform those 2 rak'ah. After performing the 2 rak'ah, you will now proceed. Turn your back towards the Kaaba and you will proceed to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. And basically you will see, once you turn your back to the Kaaba from Maqam Ibrahim, you will have to proceed a little bit to the right, and it will say to you Al-Mas'a. There's a big sign there that says Al-Mas'a, meaning the place where you're going to make sa'i. This, for the students of Arabic knowledge, Al-Mas'a is Ismu Dharf, from the word As-Sa'yu. Okay, so you will make sa'i from between Safa and Marwa. You start from Safa, which is from, as your back is to the Kaaba, is from the right-hand side. And you know, it's sunnah also before making the making the sa'i to turn to the Kaaba and make a lot of dua. So you start making sa'i, you go from Safa to Marwa, and for men, between the two, there's two pillars which are known as Milain Akhdarain, two green pillars. And those green pillars, it's sunnah for a person to actually rush a little bit and run a little bit. And this is specifically for the men. The women maintain their own pace. So what you can do is, if you have a sister with you, your wife with you, or your sister or your mother with you, you can retain the same pace so that you don't get lost from each other. But it is sunnah for men to run between those two green points. And those are indicated by, again, more green fluorescent lights. Okay, so you go from Safa to Marwa, and this is one shot, which it is one sa'i or one circulation. And then from Marwa to Safa, this is two, and then back until you do seven. So you'll start at Safa and you'll end at Marwa after seven circulations. After you've done this, then you go and get your haircut. Okay, and you know, you can make what's known as taqsir at that point, which is to just trim the hair. And what that will do is that by the time of Hajj, when you need to cut your hair again for Hajj, you will still have some hair left. Or you can use, you can tell the barber to use an electric machine, and that will also leave some hair for you. Once you're done with cutting of the hair, that's it. You are now out of the state of Ihram. You've completed your Umrah, and now you can relax. Okay, and you have nothing more to do until the day of Hajj kicks in, which is going to be the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And inshallah, I'm going to talk about that in my next recording. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your Hajj and mine. If you go and you know, make du'as, please do remember me in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.